Turn, please, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we're in a series on Abraham and Sarah walking by faith. We've been looking at the call and the promise and the verses from chapter 11 here. But today we begin with chapter 12. We're still going to read the call beginning in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 9. So this is the word of God. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad today that we have before us your word. We pray for your Spirit's help to take your word now this morning and speak to our hearts and minds to shape, Lord, the way we think. Father, the convictions we hold. Lord, the obedience that we demonstrate, we pray. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, Ben mentioned building with Lego blocks, and I've been a fan of Lego blocks. I got my first set when I was 8 years old. Still have them, though they're thoroughly mixed in with all sorts of other sets that we accumulated with the boys across the years. And when they were young, we began to get those large Duplo blocks easier to build with, and they would try building things with them, but they really started to build once we got one of those big foundation plates, you know, the big square things that don't quite fit in any box that you have, that got them building, because it gave them a solid foundation to build on. Now, in a similar way, walking by faith means that we, like Abraham and Sarah, have a strong foundation to build our lives on, to walk on for our journey. That foundation is our relationship with God that He's called us to, in which He makes promises to us. Promises that He'll bless the world through Jesus Christ. They center on Christ Himself, and promises to make us, who are His people, a blessing to the world. Abram's call was this: go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, it's important to note in Scripture that God's call to obey something is always accompanied by a promise. It's a pattern we see over and over again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are familiar verses. They give us the call: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then what? Then you have the promise, and He will make straight your paths. So it's a familiar pattern. Jesus said, follow me, and the promise was what? I will make you fishers of men. It's even in salvation itself. When the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The promise is given, you and your household. It's attached to it. So here in Genesis 12, the promise of blessings made. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's call and promises establishing his relationship with Abraham are the foundation for his life's calling of journey of walking by faith. Let me just say, as we begin with this text, If your relationship with God is not the foundation point of your life, then you're headed down a rocky path. You know, young people, if you don't remember that the primary relationship of your life is not, it's not with your parents, it's not with your brothers or sisters, it's not with your friends, it's not with your peers, but with God. If somehow that relationship gets lost in the shuffle of the events of your life, you're headed for trouble. Because you see, when our relationship with God is the focal point for our life, that means we're dependent upon Him. That means we're looking to His promises. The alternative is to fend for ourselves, to get through life based on our own ingenuity. It's a tough world to make it by yourself. We need a foundation. So how do we begin our journey on this foundation? Let's go to the text and see. First thing to see is it's obedience, active obedience to God. Verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. Obedience indicates trust. You obey the person that you trust. If there's no trust, then there's not any obedience. We go to the doctor, and the doctor says to take this particular medicine and typically promises it will help us. Our obedience, our taking the medicine, depends on whether or not we trust the doctor and his or her promise. When my son John was 3, we got him some Superman pajamas complete with a cape. Attached to the package was a warning. Be sure and tell your children that this does not mean they can fly. Now, I trusted whoever packaged that Superman costume pajamas together. So I explained to John that did not mean that he could now fly. And because he trusted me, he did not attempt to fly even with that nice red cape. See, obedience is not just a matter of words. It's a matter of the heart that makes itself known through action. Obedience is always active. It's never passive. Obedience is a demonstration of faith. Obedience is not Abraham saying, I will go. It's Abraham going. Obedience is not saying, I will clean my room. It's cleaning my room. Obedience is not, I'm going to share my faith more. It's sharing my faith more. Never confuse good intentions with obedience. Obedience is action, it's not wishful thinking. Walking by faith means God sees us being obedient to His commands. Children and young people honoring their parents. Fathers and mothers diligently teaching their children God's word and praying with them for them. All of us being kind to one another. Members of CMBC reaching out to a hurting world around us. Now the chorus of the old gospel hymn gets it right. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This kind of obedience we saw when we went through Colossians is fueled by grace. It's driven by grace. So in addition to obedience, our journey requires walking courageously. Look at verse 6. Abram passed through the land of the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And then Moses' note there is, at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. That comment lets us know that Abram was facing opposition on this journey, simply because he was different. Abraham did not fit in with the Canaanites. He worshipped a different God than they did. He had different values than they did. Theirs was a sexually based religion filled with ritual rites of prostitution. This kind of practice exploited women as they worshipped many gods. And Abraham was completely opposite. There are no fertility rites in Abraham's religion. He did not depend on such demeaning activities for God's blessing. He simply depended on God's word, His promises. That sort of religion did not appeal to the sexually immoral Canaanites. They were so gripped by their sin and their emphasis on sex that they were blinded to the truth. Instead, they worshiped a multitude of gods. So it took courage for Abraham to come into the land and bring his own peculiar religious activities, a lifestyle of holiness in a sea of sin. Of course, the points of comparison to our 2020 country and world are obvious. There are a multitude of gods in our nation, but the foremost god is sex. It's tied closely to the pantheon of other 21st century gods. Self, our identity, pleasure, money. And it takes courage to be different. It takes courage to say, I march to the beat of a different drum. It takes courage to say, I'm not going to live for money or for material goods or for pleasure. It takes courage to declare that true satisfaction is not found in the things of life, but in God. So walking by faith means we have the courage to resist the things of this world and to depend on God. Third, our walking by faith journey focuses on worship. Look at verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Shechem is, roughly speaking, the geographical center of the promised land. And Abraham stands there in the center of the land, and God appears to him. And the inherent message is, this is the place. You're now in the promised land where you belong. And God tells him, to your offspring, I will give this land. Right now, the Canaanite is here. Right now, you're in the land temporarily. But one day, your descendants will dwell in this land. And so we find the first record of Abraham building an altar here. What we find is that Abraham is worshiping his God, the God who calls him, the God who promises him. And it's not a random event in his life. Verse 8, from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Nay on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham's pattern is to focus his life on the worship of God. The highlights for Abraham are his meetings with God. And now in the land of promise, to mark those meetings, he builds an altar that's indicative of his worship. Now here's the question John Calvin raises for us to think about. Calvin said, why did he build an altar? Could he not have just quietly worshiped God in his own heart? And I believe this is a critical point for us to understand as a church. And do understand this. Many people, they face unique challenges because of COVID-19. So what we're about to say here is not about people socially distancing themselves at this particular time where it's providentially going on. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not focused on this unique moment in history, but talking more generally. Because what I say is I firmly believe God cares about our attendance at worship. It's not a matter of indifference for him. God's not neutral about this. His expectation is that God's people meet with him corporately and regularly for one purpose, and that's to worship him. The corporate worship service of a particular church like Chestnut Mountain Presbyterian Church is the specific time set apart to meet with God apart from the world. Now follow this. Abraham erected an altar to worship God in response to the fact that God had spoken to him and given him a call based on promises. This worship is an act of gratitude on Abram's part. The phrase in verse 8, to call upon the name of the Lord, actually simply says to say God's name. That's all it is. It's pronouncing Yahweh, God's name, the name of God. It's a proclamation of his sovereign reign. It's a statement of adoration, of worship. And it's done in connection with the building of the altar. The calling on the name of the Lord in adoration comes from an internal act of the heart, which worship must be. And the building of the altar becomes the external confession before the world, which true worship must be as well. It was a statement to the Canaanite world that Abraham's worship is different. Friends, internal worship of the heart is not sufficient when there is available to us external worship with God's people. What if in normal times, there were such things at one point, it was before COVID, hopefully there will be a post-COVID time. You know, students, what if you decided to call the principal on Monday and say, you know, I'm not coming to school physically this week anymore, I'm going to think about my schoolwork today. I'm going to think about it. So count me present, because really what matters? It's what's on my heart, right? If I just think about it, that'll do. Or you call your boss and you say, you know, I'm not coming in today, but I'm going to think about working, you know. If I just give good thoughts about it, you know, warm thoughts, it's enough, isn't it? Or you tell some business associate or client or even a friend that you're going to meet with, you know, I've decided not to come, but I'm going to think about you during that time. You know, I've got a sore finger, I've got to go walk by the lake, but I'll think about you. Would we ever do that with one of our friends, our boss, or the school? Of course not. But how often with God do we excuse ourselves from meeting with Him for 1 hour out of a 168-hour week? You see, the King of the universe is here every Sunday morning. He's present in churches all over the world. He expects His people to be present unless providentially hindered. Walking by faith requires that we focus on worship. To not worship is to insult the God who sent Jesus Christ to die for us. You see, implicit in building an altar is that Abraham offered a sacrifice. He did that anticipating the sacrifice to come, Jesus Christ. And we come into the presence of God because the blood of Jesus has opened the way. To speak of the importance of church attendance is not, as some will tell you, legalism. Not at all. It's a matter of hearts being devoted to God. It's a matter of gratitude for grace. It's a matter of faith and trust in Him. And it's also a witness to the world. You know, as Abraham moved through the promised land from place to place, he only left one thing behind each time, and that was the altar that he worshiped on. And he never built an altar outside the promised land. None of the patriarchs did. The Canaanites undoubtedly found Abraham's worship different, strange, bland even, by comparison to their sex-based worship services. So as the Canaanites watch this stranger in their midst, they note, He does not have an idol of his God. Perhaps they ask him and he tells them, my God cannot be represented with idols. Perhaps they wonder that his worship centers on simply proclaiming God's name and not some physical ritual. What they can see is Abraham's God is blessing him. Quite frankly, the Canaanites, though noticing the blessing, show no interest in following his God. They prefer to continue on the path of paganism, and God is merciful to continue to ignore their wickedness for as much as 700 years more before the arrival of Joshua to give them time to repent, except to give them that one picture of it with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Friends, I would say the world would find here what we do here today to be quite strange. Probably to be a little bland, a silly way to spend our time. But when we gather to worship as the people of God, we're a witness to the world. We show we are different from the world. Then one final thing about our walking by faith journey. to see here. Not only is it obedient, courageous, and centered on worship, but it's also a continuous process. Verse 9, and Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. So here are Abraham and Sarah, and all they've got is a tent, a call, and a promise. They're not really welcomed where they are. That's why they keep moving on. And that word journeyed is a participle. It indicates it's a continuous, indefinite journey. Their house in Ur is a distant memory as they live in tents. And see, that's what our walk is. We never really fit in with the world that we leave behind. And there are many trials that we're bound to face in the days ahead that will continue our whole lives. And the walk of faith never ends. We never arrive as a Christian at some great level of maturity. The journey only transitions when we take our last breath here and our next breath in eternity itself. Abraham and Sarah knew their journey would not end, that the blessings for them pointed to the future. The author of Hebrews reminds us, by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Friends, to walk by faith means we realize we're on a journey. And we ought not get too attached to the things of this world, because we will not be here all that long. It's been more than a few years since this happened, and you'll figure out why in a minute. But we stopped it was late in the day, and we stopped in near Asheville looking for a motel room. And the motel was filled up, they told us, unfortunately. Except there was the luxury suite of rooms that was still available that cost a whole lot more than I was willing or able to spend. So I just turned and walked away. And I was almost to the door when I heard the clerk say, sir, how many nights did you want? And I said, well, just one. And I know they wanted to go home, get all the rooms rented out, go home. They said, I'll tell you what, we'll give you the luxury suite for the price of a regular room. Well, I'm no fool. And so there we were in the luxury seat. Now, when I look back at my notes of this story, I told you how long ago it was, because my notes said there were two remote control TVs. How about that? Some of y'all, you don't use the term remote control TV anymore. You don't even use the term color TV anymore. I do. But I remember it had this king-size bed and beds in the room, and there were tables and chairs for breakfast. There was a jacuzzi, and there was a picture window with a marvelous view of the mountains, you know. And I thought, you get attached to these kinds of things, especially those remote controls. But we were on a journey, and it was just for one night, and that at a poor man's rate. And the next morning, we had to leave. But we knew we were going to, because it was not our home. It was just a motel for a night. So what about us? You know, this, as believers, this world's not our home. It's simply where we are for the time being. And be thankful that it's not, because it's under a curse. Abraham made it through this world by walking by faith. And so can we. Even in a very strange 2020 world. Because Abraham walked by faith on a firm foundation. He walked obediently. He walked courageously. He focused on worship. And he continued on. And because of that, he was a witness to the world. Friends, when we walk by faith, so are we. So we want those words to describe our journey by faith. But he says, well, if you're here and you're not yet a believer, we're so glad you're here, but perhaps you want your life to be different. Then you need to hear the call of God. By faith, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Believe that he rose from the dead. And the promise comes with that. You'd believe you will be saved. You'll receive eternal life. And like Abraham, begin walking by faith. We'd love to have you join us on the journey. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad that we have the example of Abraham before us. We thank you, Father, that we are people today of great hope because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because of all the promises that are wrapped up for us in the person of Jesus Christ. So, Father, as your people, enable us, Father, to give us strength by your grace to be obedient, Father. Lord, to be courageous, to make worship the center of our lives, Father, and to continue on the journey, we pray. If there's somebody here who's not yet a believer in Christ, Father, today, draw them to your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.